This podcast focuses on Florida fiddler and storyteller Richard Seaman. Seaman was born in 1904 on an orange grove in Kissimmee, Florida. While attending community gatherings as a young boy, Seaman witnessed local fiddlers playing into the night as people square danced. These experiences motivated him to pick up the fiddle and learn the craft. This environment was also conducive to the telling of tall tales, which Seaman later recounted and delivered to captivated audiences with an intuitive flair. Over the years, Seaman developed a repertoire of fiddle tunes that included waltzes and western swing, but the old-time hoedown tunes he learned as a young man exemplifies his contribution to the regional heritage of Florida fiddle playing. Folklorist Gregory Hansen notes that Seaman's fiddle tunes have influenced fiddlers from Florida and beyond, and even the genre of bluegrass music that this old-time style of playing precedes. In his early years of fiddle playing, Seaman moved to Jacksonville, where he performed in several bands including the Melody Makers and the string band Southland Trail Riders. He and the Melody Makers also made a weekly radio program on WJAX. In 1955, Seaman put his fiddle down and didn't pick it up again for more than 30 years until he met banjoist guitarist Jack Piccolo. The two began to play together at the Florida Folk Festival in White Springs and continued to do so regularly until Seaman's death in 2002. Fiddle tunes were not Seaman's only contribution to the Florida Folk Festival. He also recited tall tales to eager audiences on the storytelling stage. What made Seaman's stories engaging was his ability to weave reality and fantasy together, always framing the narrative with a plausible scenario and resolving it with a whopper. As Hansen points out, there is truth in Seaman's fictitious tales as he conveys the daily activities that form important components of his life experience and in a greater sense shared his vision of folk life in Florida. In 2001, Seaman was recognized for his long-standing contribution to the folk culture of Florida when he received the Florida Folk Heritage Award at 96 years old. We have highlighted two performances by Seaman from the Florida Folk Festival. The first features Seaman's fiddle playing, partnered with Jack Piccolo's guitar from the 1993 festival. In the second performance, we will hear an excerpt from Seaman's Tall Tales, told from the storytelling stage at the 1992 festival. Enjoy.
Good evening, everybody. Well, we're back up here again this year. We come here very near every year and have a lot of fun when we come up here. And we also meet a lot of nice people who make us welcome, and we appreciate that very much. And the type of music we're going to play today stems way back towards the first of the century that used to be played for square dances. I learned to play by sitting down in a corner listening to people play for square dances. And I took that method of playing. And I played the fiddle now for quite some time. I've been married 7 times, and I run 6 of them off playing this fiddle. So bear with me. Maybe we'll do a little better. We're going to play our
Mississippi Sawyer.
First number will be Mississippi Sawyer. Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, when you applaud for us, that's like making love to an old maid, you know. You can't overdo it. I went to the doctor the other day. I wasn't feeling too good. And doctor says, what can I do for you? I said, well, doc, I'm interested in living a long time. What would you suggest I do to lengthen out my lifespan? I want to live for a long time. Doctor says, well, do you drink? I said, no, sir. He says, do you smoke? I said, no, sir. He says, do you chase after women? I said, no, sir. He said, well, what in the devil you want to live for anyhow? The next number we're going to play is called Soldier's Joy. It goes something like this. I was born and raised on a farm, and I tried farming for a while. I worked hard, tried to do the very best I knew, and it seemed like the more I worked and the harder I tried, the behinder I got. I worked on that farm for 10 years. But when I left there, all I had was a bow-legged woman, a peg-legged rooster, and a one-eyed dog. Seem like I just can't get ahead.
Flop-eared mule?
This next number is called a flop-eared mule. And on the farm, we used to have to work them. And I don't know of anything that's any more contrary than a mule. So the flop-eared mule goes something like this. Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to introduce this young man that's helping me out so well here. He's a past master on a banjo, a real good guitar player, and he's an all-around musician most anywhere you put him. And I'm glad to have him with me. Put your hands together and make welcome Mr. Jack Piccolo. And as for me, I never did amount to much because all I ever done was fiddle around. This next one is called the Westphalia Waltz. Thank you very much. I'm going to play another waltz that I like to play very well, called The Waltz You Saved For Me.
Thank you.
I have another waltz now. I wrote in the honor of my wife called the Annie Siemens Waltz. Our last selection is called Up Jump the Devil.
Now we will hear a few tales from Richard Seaman at the Florida Folk Festival in 1992.
And one day I was fishing down at Kissimmee River. That's way down there, down the state. And it's a beautiful place down there with trees overlapping the river bank. And you could sit there and have your feet hang down and fish, all just enjoy nature out there. One day I was sitting there fishing, and I heard an awful commotion over in the bushes there. And I went over to see about it. And it was a snake had caught a bullfrog. That old Marcuson caught that bullfrog, and that bullfrog was croaking and hollering trying to get loose. Well, I knew that snake had to have his dinner, but I thought I'd have some fun with him. So I went over to a willow tree and cut off a branch about that long with a forked end on it. I trimmed it off. And I walked over there where that snake was, and I pushed that forked stick right down over that snake's neck, right back of his head, and held him down. And I pulled out that frog and let him go. Well, that frog left there. He left there in about two directions at the same time. He's leaving there. But while I had him holding him down there, I reached in my pocket and got a bottle of white lightning, old moonshine. and I give that snake a good drink of moonshine. Poured his mouth plumb full, and then I turned him loose. And I went on, sat down, went to fishing, forgot about it. And that's while I felt something tap me on the back, and I turned around and looked. And there was that darn fool snake with another toad in his mouth. But the best way to fish, now this is a unique way, maybe I shouldn't tell it, but at that time it wasn't against the law. Now if you go fishing, it's against the law to take this pole. You've got to have a right colored pole, the moon's got to be right. If the boat's three quarters of an inch too short, that won't do. If you catch a trout or any kind of fish now and he's not on the limit, you've got to throw him back. And used to catch all you wanted to. So I went down to that same place on the Kissimmee River there. It was at that time it was very isolated, and very few people ever got down there to fish. The Indians was quite numerous down there. So the way now, you may not believe this, if it wasn't the truth, it wasn't told. You used to get a lizard. They had a certain type of lizard that lived under logs and dead trees and stuff like that. It's a special little blue lizard. And trout love them above all things. So you take the lizard, I'd cut a little slit in the lizard's tail and put a long, strong string to it. And I'd throw it out in the river, and then I'd tie the other end of the string to a tree. And I'd go down, lay down, take a nap. What would happen? These trout loved them lizards with a passion. So this old trout would run there and swallow that, grab that lizard and swallow him, thought he had a good meal. But what he didn't know, that lizard didn't stop. He crawled on out. And another trout saw him, and he'd swallow him. Well, the same thing would happen. And within a half an hour, I'd wake up and go back there and pull in a whole string of fish already strung up. That wasn't truth, I wouldn't told it. My sister had a farm down there that I told you about a while ago. And I had one next door, next to it. And I raised popcorn down there. Popcorn is my chief crop. And it was awful hot down there in the summertime when the corn was ripe. So I had to take my popcorn to town in a two-horse wagon, pulled by two big Kentucky mules. And I'd have to carry my popcorn to town at night because the sun is so hot in the daytime, I'm afraid that popcorn would blow up. Well, one day I got a little tight and, you know, I didn't get a right start and I left too late. Well, the sun come up and caught me on the way to town and I had a hangover. And the mules was walking along and I wasn't running right then. I wasn't much giving a darn what happened. And about midday, that sun was so hot, that whole wagon load of popcorn just blew up. Right there in the middle of the road. Well, to top it all off, them two mules turned around and saw it, and they thought it was snow, and both of them froze to death right there. That old rooster at the farm, had a rooster on the farm. That was the laziest rooster I ever seen in my life. He was actually so lazy, so when the neighbor's rooster would crow in the morning, he'd just nod his head and say, amen. Everybody was lazy but me. I worked on that farm for 10 years and slaved my life away. And you know, when I left there, all I had in this world was a bow-legged woman, a peg-legged rooster, and a one-eyed dog. It wasn't worth it. Well, that's the way it is when you have to take a chance on things. I was down there at my sister's farm one time and down to Blue Kissimmee there on that. She had a nice little place and it come up a thunderstorm. Well, we had a thunderstorm there that you could tell your grandchildren about. That was a terrible storm. It rained and it blowed and it thundered and it just tore up trees one stuff another. You know, old days, people didn't have washing machines. They had an old cast iron wash pot out in the backyard, and they built a fire under it and put your put your clothes in there and boil them a while. Then they took them out and beat the devil out on a stick, what they call a battling stick. Well, my sister had one of them old cast iron pots out there, and the wind blew that pot out of her yard so fast over the fence. That pot left there so fast that the lightning struck at it three times and missed it all three times. So, things like that, you remember, people won't believe that you saw all them. But actually, things like that stick in your mind. And it's a wonderful thing. Actually, though, it's wonderful to live back there. I lived sort of like Mark Twain and Huckleberry Finn on the lake. I can remember steamboats going up and down Lake Tahokalaga, clean on down to the Kissimmee River, believe it or not. There was two of them there. One of them was owned by Captain Johnson, and the steamboat's name was the Lily, and Cal Buckle's own one, his name was Lucy, and that name was Lucy B. And it was a great thrill to be down there fishing and see them old steamboats puffing up and down there pushing a barge. But now you don't see nothing out there anymore but the modern boat. And there's so many of them running up and down there fishing, that lake sounds like a beehive sometimes. My sister had bees down there one time, and she supplied quite a bit of honey for the whole state of Florida. She had a special honey, and then in the spring when the orange blossoms would bloom, why, she would had a lot of orange blossom honey, and that was a great demand for that. So the demand was more than the supply. She had all the bees that she knew what to do with, and so she didn't know just how to get any more honey. So one day she thought up of an idea, and it worked. You know what she did? She crossed her bees with lightning bugs, and they could work 24 hours a day. So, well, folks, be it far from me to tell a story, a lie that is, I'm going to have to quit now and behave myself. I noticed my wife's right back there. She got my eye on me, and I could have lied without being caught.
Can you think of one more?
Ma'am?
Can you think of another one? I know you've got another one. It has to be a little bit of truth in it. We storytellers.
Well, there was a man listening to his television, and a preacher was on the television. Now, there's nothing wrong with that if you listen to the right preacher. Anyhow, the preacher, he was sort of long-winded, talking. And towards the last, he says, if you'll send me $25, just send me $25 right away, and within 24 hours, you will have a miracle. And his friend of mine said, well, I'll try that. So he sent him $25. And that night he got up to go to the bathroom, and when he took a hold of the door, the light come on. He says, there's that miracle, there's that miracle, there's that miracle. I didn't have to even turn the light on. He went back to the bed and says, Mary, that miracle just happened. She said, what? She said, I went in there to use the bathroom and the light come on without me even touching the switch. She says, oh my God, Henry, you wet in the refrigerator. So, I'm going to let somebody else take over now, because I'm going plumb dry of jokes, and not many more to know. I did remember one time when I was working at my sister's farm. I saw a rattlesnake out in the potato patch. I was hoeing potatoes, and that was the biggest rattlesnake I ever saw in my life. Well, I didn't have nothing in my hand but a hoe, and that's what I had to kill him with. So I started hoeing away at that snake, and he started fighting back, and we had a battle royal out there. That was a big snake, and he fought hard. I was framing away with him at this hole, and he was biting at it. And in the fracas there, he bit that hoe handle. He didn't bite me, thank the Lord, but he did bite the hoe handle before I got him killed. And after I got him killed, I look over there, and that whole handle began swelling. And it swelled up big as a log. So I went and got me a log cart. And I carried it to the sawmill, had it sawed up into lumber, and I brought that home and built me a mule shed. And I put my mule in it and went to bed. It was getting late. Thought I'd done pretty good. Next morning when I got it and went out there, that there swelling had gone out of that lumber and it shrunk my mule plumb to death.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Rick Tillett from Jacksonville, and this is his first year over here. Yes. Thank you.
Well, thank you.